Okay.
So we're reading from Ruth chapter 4.
Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here, and in the presence of all the elders of my people, of the earth. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth from Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself, I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, the redemption and transfer of property to become final. One party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I've also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to her son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This, then, is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of
Yeah, Father God, I just want to thank you for your word. I thank you that you've spoken to us. Lord, I thank you that there's things that we can glean out of this passage, Lord, that speak to our life today. Lord, we want to thank you that your word is eternal. And Lord, just want to pray that as sharing, as we're watching another video, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to each one of us. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit come, and just may your anointing be on me as I'm speaking. Lord, I pray that I'd speak your words and not my own, and any words that aren't from you wouldn't really have any effect. Lord, just bless everyone today in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a really lovely story of redemption, and it's kind of quite a nice love story as well. But I just wanted to focus on, start off with just looking a little bit about the kind of background, the archaeological background to all this. So we hear about city gates at the start of that. And when you think of a city gate, you tend to think of a door. But city gates in that time were a little bit different. This is a picture, a mock-up of the city gate in Geshur. I think it was one of the largest at the time that they found. And as you see, there's like 2 defensive walls. And then on the inside, they used to have a load of courtyards. And basically, there was such a large space in there that it had all the legal transactions of the city happened there. You sometimes had marketplaces there. You had a courtyard, guard rooms. It was kind of like the town hall for the city. The law court was there, and it would almost be like Hyde Park Corner as well. So you'd have speakers there who would, some of the prophets used to be at the city gates and to cry out the city gates. So it was expected for justice to be done in this place.
When we go on to Boaz, who was there, had to make these agreements that he was making about Ruth and the land in front of a presence, in presence of witnesses. So there was a lot of witnesses there at the time as well. And then Tom spoke to us about kinsmen redeemers a week ago, but I just wanted to just go over that again. So there are two aspects of kinsmen redeemers in the Bible. The first one was what we call levirate marriage. So this was when if a man were to die without any children, then the man's widow must marry a surviving brother in order to continue the relationship between their respective groups that was initiated in the initial marriage. So that the heir of that that marriage would then become the son of the previous one, the widower, the person that had died. And that he would look after, it was a way to look after the widow as well. This was not based on what we understand of the Bible. This was not actually required of Boaz. Boaz didn't have to marry Ruth. He was doing it out of the kindness of his heart. And then there's another kind of kinsman redeemer, is one that would redeem someone's property if they were kind of, or their person if they were sold into slavery, or because of poverty, they had to sell all their land. So if someone was forced to sell property or themselves into slavery because of debt, they could be redeemed by a family member who would pay the price of the property. And they'd be paying the price of property up to the year of redemption, which was the year of Jubilee. So it would be like a certain kind of lease that we have now. Leasehold, isn't it? It's kind of a leasehold model of property. So they'd pay for that. They basically rescue the family by buying this land. And Boaz in this story became both of these. So he both redeemed Ruth, and he redeemed the land of Naomi, he was endangering his estate. This other guy's problem was if he'd married Ruth, then he'd be endangering his own estate. Well, Boaz basically endangered his whole estate by, it was a real loving thing to do. So the first main point I want to pick out of this is how Boaz was a man of integrity, and it's an encouragement for us to be people of integrity as well, which in Ukrainian, I think, would be Chesni Lude. So we need to be Chesni Lude. So Boaz was clearly, when you read through the story, you could see that he was in love with Ruth. He was really attracted to her. But based on what the passage is saying, it would seem that, and because he was delighted with the proposal as well, when Ruth asked for him to redeem her, he was really delighted with that. We don't know whether Ruth was attractive or not. But what we do know is that, Boaz was really attracted to her godliness and to her, and to how, I mean, previously, Boaz at the time says that she's a worthy woman. So this is the thing that seemed to draw him to her. So he was interested in her. There was someone else that could have taken her first. So it would be very easy for him if he really wanted to marry Ruth, to try and cut corners and to stop this whole thing of happening and just take her for himself. But he was willing to sacrifice someone that he loved in order to maintain integrity and do things the right way. So he went to the city gate. He got this other guy that had first choice to be the kinsman redeemer and to marry Ruth, and took him through this whole process. He did everything by the book. So he got 10 elders, so there would be 10 witnesses. He got the closest relative, and if that relative had agreed to take him, he could have been forfeiting his own happiness, in order to do what was right. So it's really important. This is a re-encouragement to us to also be people of integrity like Boaz was. We heard last week how God really wants us to be people that care for the poor. In this passage, we see that as well as caring for the poor, Boaz also was a man that really wanted to be upright and work in integrity. And both of these different aspects are really essential for us as Christians. Ola and I recently heard about an old friend of mine who was involved in a charity that was doing a lot of really good things to help people, especially people in poverty. But he was dismissed from this charity due to improper conduct. He left his family and then ended up marrying someone else. And it was really sad. You can see that it's important to have integrity as well as being someone that helps the poor. And in James 1:27, it talks about this. James says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." In our day and age, it's very, it's really looked upon well to be helping the poor and to be charitable and to do good things for people. But what's not looked upon so well is to be someone that maintains integrity until you have a situation in the government like we're having now, is that integrity does become important at certain times. And God really wants to be people of integrity, to be people of humility, and to be people who are righteous living. So following on from this, God also wants us to be people that are holy. Now, if we look at this passage, this was written the time of, so holiness in Ukrainian is Святість. And God wants us to be shining stars, even amidst times of darkness, which would be Siochi. So Ruth came from the Moabite line. If you read earlier in the Bible, you hear about the kind of things that the Moabites had done in the past. For a start, the Moabite line was started through an incestuous relationship with Lot and his daughter. Later on, the Moabites led Israelites into worship of Baal. They hired Balaam to curse Israel. In the desert, they led the people of Israel into sin. And as such, the Moabites were forbidden to enter into the Lord's assembly. And then we hear about Israel. This was written in the time of the judges. So the Bible talks about the time of the judges and what kind of time it was like. And it says, "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit." And in Judges 2:10 and 11, it says, "And there arose another generation after them," after the people of Israel who were with Joshua at the time, "who did not know the Lord or the work he had done in Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals." So this time this story is written is in the time of Judges, which is kind of like the dark ages of Israel. You've got two family lines. You've got the Jews and you've got the Moabites, both in the time of darkness, and you wouldn't consider them particularly righteous people during this season. But you've got two people out of those family lines who stand up, and both of them are called worthy in the ESV translation. They're both righteous, virtuous people, people of integrity. Much the same in our generation, everyone does as they see fit. In previous generations, we've kind of had the Bible as a guideline to follow. Even in some aspects of the church now, the Bible isn't considered to be as important as certain theories. And Christian values and beliefs are often mocked and despised by a lot of society. So Ruth, Ruth in that passage was called Hayal, which means a woman of virtue. And Boaz was called Gibor, which means a worthy man of standing and a courageous, mighty man. Both of those words are another word for mighty. So they were both courageous people. Just like them, God wants us to be courageous people that stand out as shining stars in times of darkness. We need to be courageous like Boaz and virtuous like Ruth. Philippians 2:14-16 says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain." So we're encouraged to be to shine like stars, even when things around us and people around us aren't wanting to go in the same direction. And so at certain times that requires huge courage and bravery to do what's right, even when there's pressure to do things that are wrong. That each of us can be people of noble character. Each of us can be people that draw close to Jesus and become more holy in our lifestyles. And there's something beautiful about when people who want to follow the Lord, who are devoted to the Lord, people who want, who walk in holiness, kind of join together in unity. And it produces great fruit. It's like when the Bible says that when two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there among them. It also says that one can put 1,000 to flight and 2, 10,000 to flight. So when people come together in unity, for Jesus, then there's power released from it. And we have the picture here of Ruth and Boaz, both godly people coming together in unity, being married. And the fruit of that was a child called Obed, who later went on to become the father of Boaz, who became the father of David, who became the father of Jesus. So out of this, two people wanting to live for God in a time of darkness, the savior of the world came. So God can do the same with us. And the final point I wanted to pick out of this was, just that whole pass, the whole idea of redemption, which is vikup in, Ukrainian. So in chapter one of this passage, Naomi says, don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant, my delight, but call me Mara, which means bitter. And then she's destitute. She's, all her sons die. She's childless. Ruth is childless. And then God, through Boaz, through this kinsman redeemer that comes, God totally turns everything around. And that woman who was once childless then goes on to become an ancestor of Jesus Christ, who's the savior of the world. Our ultimate kinsman redeemer, the ultimate person that can redeem us, is Jesus Christ. We were once slaves to sin, under God's judgment. We were destined to eternal separation from him. But Jesus Christ took his sin upon himself and he paid for our redemption. And we know that if we repent and say sorry, to turn away from our sins and put our faith in him, he will, like Boaz redeemed Ruth, redeem us. He'll set us free from the curse of sin. He'll give us eternal life. And we'll be with him in heaven when we die. But he doesn't just want to stop there. Help us to be redemption to the world as well. We may see similarities in this story, to our own church, history, that, at times we may feel like, we were like Naomi, but I believe God's wanting to encourage us that, that if we put him first and seek him, then God can turn the tables and then we will become, like Ruth, that God's going to bring redemption for us. So what are the encouragements? Just want to reiterate what encouragements there are for our lives over this, from this passage. So God's encouraging us to walk in integrity, which is sinistr. I want to ask the question, is God challenging you today about some area that he wants to increase the level of integrity in your day-to-day life? The next thing God could be saying to you is an encouragement to walk more in holiness. That God wants us to be shining stars in this generation, that God is wanting to encourage you and to kind of go deeper in that call to holiness, for you to stand out in the midst of the darkness. And finally, God may be wanting to redeem something in your life. He may want to redeem you personally and bring him into relationship with him, or he may want to draw you deeper into this plan of redemption so that you can help bring redemption in other people's lives. And I just wanted to finish with a prayer that we can pray, to invite Jesus into our lives, to invite his redemption. And, I want to encourage you, if you want to pray this out loud, I'm going to pray it, then pray it out loud with me. If you want to pray it in your heart, pray it with me, but I'm going to finish off with this prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are our kinsman redeemer, I believe that you died on the cross for me. You took my sins upon yourself and you rose again. You paid the price for my sins so that I can now be free from slavery to sin and live for you. I'm sorry for the sin, for the evil things I've done in my life, things that have broken your heart. I repent and turn away from all evil and give my life wholly over to you. I put my trust in you, Jesus, my Lord, my God, and my Savior. Please forgive me of my sin and accept me into your family. Come into my heart and be my Lord. Wash me, change me, and set me free. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to live for you, help me to live for you and fulfill everything you have called me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Father God, we just want to thank you, for your word to us, Lord. I pray that, just for each one of us, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to shine out for you, Lord, to be people that walk, in righteousness, to walk in your ways, even when there's pressure around us not to, Father. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to finish well in our lives, Lord, and not shipwreck our lives by bad choices, Lord. I pray that that your hand would be on us, Lord, and that you would help us to be people that bring redemption into other people's lives. And Lord, we also want to pray for this church as well. Lord, we want to pray that you would bring back the delight, that there was at the start, Father God, that you would add to our numbers, Lord, that you would bless this church in Jesus' name. Amen.